One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
You are listening to The Coming Out Tapes, an audio archive of LGBTQ stories. I am your curator, Keris Bradley. So, welcome to another episode of The Coming Out Tapes. This is actually the penultimate episode of the season.
Wow.
So that's exciting. And I'm here with Carmen Ali to record a wonderful interview. This is actually, full confession, the second time that we are recording this interview because there was a technical hitch and I messed up and we didn't get the first portion of the interview, so we're gonna have to redo it. Thank you so much for coming back to the studio.
That's okay.
Walking up all these stairs, but it means that this is gonna be really polished, 'cause you already know.
No pressure.
Could you start by introducing yourself to the listeners?
Hi, my name's Carmen Ali. I'm a stand-up comedian and blogger and part-time occasional stripper, which is also kind of part of the way that you have to come out to people sometimes. I am kinky and polyamorous and bisexual or pansexual, haven't really decided yet, flexisexual. And what were the other things? I think that was it.
Did you want to talk about asexuality?
Oh yeah. I also just realized that I'm on the asexual spectrum because in terms of actual sex, I don't really enjoy the mechanics of vanilla sex. Like, the way that I'm attracted to people is kind of based on conflict, which feeds into the kinkiness. So it's like 95% of what I want to do is kinky stuff, and then sex is like, yeah, I guess, if you really want to. it's kind of like, if we're not going to hurt each other, like, what is even the point?
So lots of words to talk about.
Okay.
So let's go through all the ones that you said, because maybe not all of the listeners are familiar with these kind of language. So first one was kinky. So what does the word kinky mean to you?
So it just means that I'm turned on by kinkiness. So I'm turned on by that kind of sexual tension in a conflict kind of way. So like, I want us to play chess with each other and then tie each other up and chip kind of wax on each other and all that kind of stuff. So that's what gets me aroused and gets me excited.
And do you consider being kinky, do you see that as part of your identity in the same way that you see the more the pansexuality and the asexuality? So do you see it as being part of the LGBT kind of spectrum?
I don't know, because I didn't come up with the definition. So I know that some people, because I did some Googling about this, that some people who are kinky identify as queer, but some people who are kinky don't. I don't know if everyone in the LGBTQIA community want people who identify as kinky but more straight want to be in that group. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like,
what would what do you think is the motivator for people who are kinky, who they would, so people who are, for example, they identify as cisgender and heterosexual. And so if the kinkiness wasn't a part of their sort of like sexual life, they wouldn't consider themselves part of the LGBT community. What's the motivation for them?
I guess because being vanilla is the default in the way that people think being heterosexual is the default. So it's like you kind of have to explain to someone that you're kinky sometimes, or like it's like when you go to have sex, like I don't know, it's a conversation that you need to have sometimes, in the same way that like being bi or gay or whatever is a conversation sometimes you might need to have.
Do you think
am I making sense?
Yeah.
So like in the way that it's not what most people might think is the default, and sometimes it can cause issues in dating and sex and things. Yeah, and you feel like you're kind of a bit of an outcast in a similar way, if that makes sense. So like when I was younger, I'd be like, I went through this stage at one point where I just wanted to be normal, like inverted commas, and like really wanted to just like vanilla sex and like kind of try and force myself into that box. And then, but as I've got older, I've been like, no, I should just embrace it and find people who want to do the same things as I do.
Do you think that the relationships that people have, which are inclusive of kinky sex, and the kind of attitudes that people have towards sex when they are part of the kink community, do you think that that is something that challenges like heteronormativity in the same way that queer identities are often about like pushing back against that?
Not in a way, because sometimes you go to kinky events and the guys are really awful and like not inclusive and not supportive and not kind of sex positive and sometimes a bit like over dominant or creepy, or so I think sometimes I'm like, you don't belong in a nice inclusive kind of list because you shouldn't be in there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I can't remember what was the question.
But I guess they're like, okay, so there are obviously, so there are people who are like not very nice within those spaces. But I guess maybe if you take that element out of like a kind of like a kinky identity and a kinky relationship and kinky sex, do you think that sex sort of like in and of itself is a challenge towards what we consider to be like heteronormative relationships?
It can be, because sometimes, for example, you might be doing like kinky stuff, like as a woman doing kinky stuff with a guy, and they might not want to admit that they're into certain things because the norm is not to be into those certain things. So for example, like some of them really like being pegged, but like they don't want to kind of, yeah, they're forced into a heteronormative way that that's not what straight men like to do, but they do like to do that sometimes. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So
sometimes it does challenge heteronormativity. Sometimes it doesn't. Like, I guess it's like anything. It depends on the person and the situation.
So since the last recording, have made the editorial decision that like, I don't know what the listeners, which words they'll know and which words they won't.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just going to ask you to define every single one of them.
Of course.
So pegged.
Oh, so pegging is when you fuck someone with a strap on. Okay. And it's usually, I think it's usually used when it's like female to male, but it could also be like female to female. It could also be even male to male or male to female, because they might wear a strap on as well as having a dick. But also, obviously, not every male has a dick, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's hard to sometimes to define the words with gender words, but yeah.
Cool. Okay. So that was kinky, and then the next one was poly.
And then that was pegging.
That
was kinky, and then was, pegging. Yeah. Oh right, yeah.
So then the next one is polyamorous.
Okay.
So how do you define polyamory and being polyamorous?
So I basically realized that I don't like the restrictions of having to be totally monogamous all the time, because it can stop you from acting out on moments that you really want to do in that situation, like in that situation, in that moment. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay.
like even like stupid stuff like you might just want to like kiss your friend and like you can't because your boyfriend is like, no, you can't kiss your friend anymore when you go out on nights out. And you're like, but I really want to. I really want to have that moment with her. And it's like, I don't think that you should stop people from doing that.
So for you, is polyamory, is that about being able to have relationships with everyone? So I know people who are polyamorous and they have like a partner and then they also have other, they have like an open relationship and they have relationships with lots of other people. Do you also want to have like one person who you would maybe refer to as your partner as well as other relationships? Or
I'm kind of still exploring it, yeah. So I don't know yet, like we'll see what happens and like which people I meet and what they want and that sort of thing. I just don't want to have like full monogamy, yeah. So it might be that I end up with a few different people or I have like one main person and then yeah.
Who knows? Doesn't matter. Okay.
So but I just think it's unrealistic to be like, I'm never going to be, like, obviously you are attracted to other people, but to be like, I'm never going to act on this because a lot of people just cheat anyway. And then it's like, well, you might as well have just had an open relationship or at least have had a more flexible kind of arrangement.
Do you think it's easy setting up those kind of more open relationships? Have you had like positive experiences with that? Or
yeah, I mean it's not really lasted long enough yet to see whether that happens. So like I've had it where I had this guy who was in an open relationship and I saw him every now and then, but that it's kind of weird because it's like they have their main partner and then you're kind of like secondary. So it's like, I like it in a way because it's kind of safe because you can't get attached, but then it's like you can't see them as often or like you can't be like, oh, let's do this thing all the time because you know that they have a main relationship. But I feel like it's more like a friendship where, so like when you have lots of different friends that you do lots of different things with, so why can't you have different partners that are kind of from anything from like friendship to romantic to sexual to different combinations of those things?
Yeah,
does that make sense?
So the thing that I don't really understand is why we consider, I guess, like sex different to anything else. So
yes, that's what I mean. Yeah, so like if I can go to the cinema with other people, why can't I fuck other people?
And I feel like in the sort of like traditional, very heteronormative relationship, so this very stereotypical, you have a man and a woman and they are like married or in a long-term relationship. Yeah. The thing that they have with each other, which they don't have with anyone else, is that they have, they're the only people that they have sex with. And then they maybe have like a house together or they have like shared finances or and responsibilities.
That
like
sounds terrible. That sounds like my worst nightmare.
but then like in that relationship, in the like sort of most typical stereotype of that relationship, the woman doesn't rely on her male partner for like emotional support. Like typically she has like female friends that she goes to and talks to about those kind of things. And so, and in that, when you have like the kind of emotional relationship that most typically like best girlfriends have, that's really involved and you share so much.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
Them. And people are like cool with that.
Yeah.
But then like sleeping with someone.
Yeah, it's not okay. It's weird, isn't it? How like, yeah, you could have that really emotional experience with someone, but then if you were to kiss or do anything else, like, oh no, that's too far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think people are just weird about sex. Like, it's like even the whole sex work thing. So people are like, oh, we should, you know, ban sex work because people get sex trafficked and all that kind of thing. And it's like, that doesn't make sense. So there were people who were trafficked into other work. Sorry, just not to like coffee thing. So like, for example, nail shops, but people aren't going around saying, oh my God, let's ban all nail shops. It's like whenever there's sex as part of it, people just get weird about it. I don't know why. I think not everyone, but some people are not open or accepting enough about sex yet. But also it's their own insecurities. It's like, oh, if they go off with, if they do that with someone else, are they still going to want to be with me? Kind of thing. Mm. And like, and I also think that, like, I don't know, it's kind of like to deny someone to have that experience that they want to have is like a form of possessing someone, and it's kind of, it's not great. You're not allowing someone to grow and flourish and do their thing if you're putting those restrictions on them.
So do you think you've met other people who have the same kind of attitude towards relationships as you?
Don't know.
If you, listeners, if you, if you're like, oh, this makes so much sense, you have to get in touch.
Yeah, no, that's not fair. One of my friends, I think she thinks a similar thing. But like, I know people who kind of agree with what I'm saying. They get that, but then they also go, yeah, but I just get really jealous, so I couldn't handle it. Yeah. So like, logically, it makes sense, but then emotionally, it doesn't make sense to them.
I think that makes sense. I think this is definitely one of the things that, in theory, like, does make a lot of sense to me. But I do worry that were I ever to have that conversation in practice, I have no idea how I would do that. Because often it can be quite difficult to like articulate those kind of thoughts, especially when you're worried that the other person like doesn't think the same thing.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I guess it's kind of like the kinky conversation. It's like, are we on the same page? I don't know. I'll see how it goes.
It's one of those ones where, like, I think people feel as if they can't say as much as they actually think because they don't know. And then
they don't know what the other person's going to say. And then maybe find out all along that they both wanted an open relationship and then yeah, they never did it.
Yeah. Okay. So that was polyamory. So the next one is bisexual or pansexual.
Yes.
So what do both of those words mean to you? And you said that you're sort of like still deciding which one. So what, where are you?
Yeah. So when I was like, when I was younger, I was like, I'm definitely bisexual. Like from a really young age. And then like kind of told everyone at school. The problem I have is that I don't tend to meet many women who are really kinky in the same way that I am. So I don't tend to have as many experiences with women. But then I'm really attracted to them and I love kissing them. I've just not had a relationship with a woman. So sometimes I feel like, oh, can I call myself bi if I'm not as bisexual as other people? And then I'm like, well, that's stupid because I know people who, so like, for example, sometimes you get women who are bisexual, but they only have relationships with women and then occasionally have sex with men or are attracted to men. Or I know one woman who identifies as bisexual and has never even been with another woman. So it's like, it's weird how people kind of like expect you to have proof of like your sexuality and what you've done with it. And like, you feel like, oh, maybe I'm not bi because I'm not as bi as people want me to be. Or so I don't know. So I'm still kind of trying to work out where I am with it. And like, I think it's just easier to date guys, really. That's the problem. Because there's just so many straight guys waiting for women to come to them. Whereas it's quite hard to meet women who also like women and then also like the same things that I like. And yeah.
It's quite funny because a lot of the women that I know, they're like bisexual, but it's just so much easier to date women.
That's so funny.
Like, yes, there are like fewer of them, but then they're less likely to turn out to be awful.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And like I'm totally would say that would be great because I've had so many awful men. But yeah, it's just hard for me to find that, like, that sexual tension with that conflict and that kind of, but also really liking each other at the same time.
Yeah.
I tend to like meet a woman and be like, oh my God, she's so attractive, and then just become really good friends with her. So yeah.
And is there a bit where, like, if you become really good friends, does that make it harder to be attracted to them sexually?
Yes. Yeah, that happens to me.
I think I have
so I was reading this book called How to Think More About Sex by Alain de Botton.
Okay.
And like, it really made sense for me. Because he talks about how, like, the closer you get to someone, the more it's like familial love, the less you want to have sex with them. So I was like, oh, that makes so much sense, because that's been happening to me my whole life. But I think I am more easily into that situation than some people. I can desexualize someone more quickly, but I think that's because it's really hard for me to be really sexually into someone anyway, and it's such a specific feeling that I have to have that it's quite easy to go away.
Yeah. I think I've always had the...
Does
like,
that make sense?
It does. I think that my experience is like the literal opposite. So people start off not in any way...
attractive to you.
And then like the more that I get to know them and the more like the closer like I am to them and the more, I guess, the more that I trust them, then that changes the way
that
I
like...
That's
so interesting.
So I think it's like the literal opposite.
I feel like it has happened to me before. I've met someone and initially not been attracted to them and got to know them and started to fancy them. But maybe more like in a random work situation or friend of a friend or something like that. But in terms of like if you're dating someone or something romantic, I don't know. Or if you're initially attracted to them, then over time it will decrease a lot for me. I don't know. Unless we kind of like keep that kind of like competitive vibe. I'm just really fucked up basically. So yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
I think that's an interesting, because you seem to like, you have clearly thought about all of this a lot.
I've like literally in the last year, probably year, or even the last few months or few weeks, have thought more about all of this than any time ever probably. I'm like, as I get older and older, I'm kind of finding out more about myself and what I want and what I think.
But I think, I think that a phrase like, I'm really fucked up, like, given how well you are able to articulate like what you want and why you think that that is the case.
I think it's just that like, yeah, I mean, obviously I'm kind of joking, but like, yeah. I do sometimes think like, why do I have to hate someone to be sexually attracted to them? And it kind of doesn't seem fair. Like other people seem to be able to be sexually attracted to people without feeling like that. I don't know.
Maybe it's their pheromones.
I don't know.
I don't really understand. Like
like having said that, I've come to a point where I accept myself and what I want, and there's kind of no point now trying to change that.
I've read a lot about sexual attraction because I have read a lot of studies about same-sex attraction, and I don't think anyone really knows. So,
like, what it is that attracts you to someone? Yeah,
yeah. There are like studies.
It's weird, isn't it?
But like, none that I have found particularly convincing of the ones that I've read. So, yeah,
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, like sometimes someone can just walk into a room and you're just like them. Like, oh my god, but like. Like you just, I don't know, you just, it's a kind of instinctive emotion that you can't even control.
Okay.
So I don't know.
So we started this conversation trying to understand what do you see as this distinct, going all the way back, the distinction between bisexuality and pansexuality. What do you think is the like difference?
I don't know. I guess I've just read more stuff recently that's like, obviously, if you're, because more people are becoming transgender and identifying as non-binary, like if you're bi, that kind of implies that there are two distinct genders that you're attracted to. But if you're pan, then you could be attracted to people who identify in different ways that are not necessarily just the stereotypical male and female. So as I would be open to being attracted to different kinds of people, that makes sense. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
But I guess I think they're quite interchangeable nowadays, like bi, pan, people.
Yeah, I think a lot of people use bisexual to mean like...
Yeah, like anyone. Like, yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay, and then the final one was asexual.
Oh, yeah. I feel like we already covered that within the kind of realms of conversation.
Could you just give us what you consider to be a definition of asexual?
So people who are like really asexual feel like almost little or no sexual attraction or sexual desire, but there's a whole spectrum. So I'm probably more gray sexual, or what's the other one called?
Demisexual.
Yes. which is kind of like, yeah, like sex is not as big a thing for me. I am attracted to people, but in a specific way.
And so do you think that that's a, like, has that been a big thing for you to discover?
Yeah, kind of... yeah. Because this whole time I was like, why don't I like it when people touch my pussy? Or like, I don't know. Like, why do I find it? Why do I not react to it the way that other people do? And like, why am I grossed out by porn? Like, I find porn really disgusting. But yet, I find like sexy scenes in movies really hot because all the nudity and sexual acts are kind of implied rather than explicitly out there. Yeah. It's weird because I'm like, on the one hand, like really not grossed out by things. But then on the other hand, I'm like, I don't know, like everyone doing all those like sex things all over each other. It is kind of like, oh, it's really hard to explain. Like I don't even, like I'm really weird about saliva. Like I don't like it when people spit on each other or like when there's like loads of saliva on your genitals and people licking you and it's just all a bit gross. So
it's when you put it like that.
But I know that lots of people are really into that. So like,
yeah, but I think even the people who are really into it wouldn't be like, and just everyone licking each
other. Yeah, I think I'm not really into genitals that much, but if I'm really attracted to someone, then I'm more into it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if it takes a lot for me to be really...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this part of you, is that something that you started to understand when you discovered... like terms like demisexual?
Yeah. And I think it is, like I said, it is linked to the kinky thing in that I mostly want to do kinky stuff, and then if we do a bit of sex, that's okay. And I think the thing is that when I've had sex with men, like you can kind of like just fuck them for like 10 minutes at the end, and it's like, that's just whereas you...
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And you can do loads of the kinky stuff, whereas with women, obviously, it takes a long time to make a woman come, and like, including myself. And I think when I've had sex with women, there's been more emphasis on the sex and not the kinkiness, and that's why I haven't enjoyed it as much or had relationships with women. So it kind of like realizing that I'm on the asexuality, that I have some asexuality, has helped me better understand the bisexuality.
That's very cool. That's my next question, which we now have like 7 minutes to do. The next question is, so when did you first come out, like, to yourself, not to other people, like first start to understand these things? So it sounds like you didn't come to understand all of these different parts of your identity at the same time.
Yeah, I'd say that's true, yeah.
So do you remember kind of like the order that it happened in?
I think it probably went... bisexual, kinky, poly, asexual.
So based on like literally just my own experience of the world and no actual data or evidence, the order that you've put them in kind of sounds like
how popular they've become in the mainstream.
Yeah, like the order in which you would have access to the information.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. That totally makes sense.
Because particularly speaking of your like experience of asexuality, that sounded like something like maybe you could have realised it.
Yeah, exactly. I just didn't really know that it was a thing, and there wasn't as many resources to learn about it, and that it's not just, and that it is more of a spectrum, and it kind of it can relate to kinkiness as well, because there are a lot of people who are kinky asexual as well. So,
And do you think that some parts of your identity have like informed or caused or created other parts, or do you think that they're like correlated because they come from kind of like the same
kind of person? I think they're all linked together.
So has like understanding one helped you to understand?
Totally.
Anything else other, so you
as part from the
thing.
So for example, like being kinky is like, so say you were in a relationship and there were certain kinks that one person didn't want to do, then maybe you could do them with someone else and that would kind of explain the poly kind of thing. Or for example, like when I've been in relationships when I've been in relationships with men and then I've like still wanted to kind of like kiss women or sometimes have experiences with them, it's like when you're only in a monogamous relationship with a man, then you miss out on women too. So that kind of makes sense as well, like the poly and bi thing.
I think that's really interesting because I've heard other bisexual people talk about before how a difficulty that they have found with their bisexuality is that when they're in monogamous relationships, they always feel as if they're denying themselves.
Like one part of,
So maybe that's not like a part of their bisexuality, but maybe it's like if there was a Venn diagram, like the intersection of being
poly
bisexual.
And bi. I think some people would say no, like if you're with that one person, then you're missing out on all men and all women. So it's not like, why would you then need to have one of either gender like on the side? But I think that there are also people like me who would be like, oh, but I'm missing out on, I feel like if I did ever have a relationship with a woman, I'd probably miss men a bit. I mean, probably be grateful not to have to deal with them so much. But so I would probably want to also sometimes have experiences with men.
Do you think that your polyamory is connected to your demisexuality?
Don't know. That's probably, maybe they're the furthest away from each other in the Venn diagram of sexualities, because I don't know how that would make sense.
I guess I don't know, like I'm not obviously not going to say that this is your experience, but I guess I could see it as being like when if you have a particular kind of demisexual experience, like a lot of that is about your sexuality being tied to specific places where you feel comfortable. And then polyamory, also a large part of that is about being like open and honest in your relationships in terms of what you want and what the limits that you want from people are. So particularly with the way that you've described your sexuality, where you are attracted to people up until the point where they get like very familiar to you.
Yeah.
Then having like lots of relationships.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh my God.
Sexual.
That's totally, you've just like nailed it. Your maths brain has figured it out. So maybe if I have lots of relationships that don't get too close and we don't get married and have children, gross, then it keeps that unfamiliarity a little bit and that excitement and that newness. Yeah, maybe they're all just linked together. And it's like, it's weird how, like, I don't know, you're just the project of that, your own sexuality, and it's so complicated, but it also makes sense.
I think that, like,
wow, this has been a revelation for me. Like, I've learned so much about myself.
I feel like having had this conversation with you, myself, and then I imagine like basically everyone, a lot of the time people pick a word, and this is also, I think you can see it in some of the interviews that I've done with people who are for example, a trans woman and a lesbian. So basically the people that I've talked to about more than one identity, they definitely do seem...
They link together.
Like linked, but then I feel like some people, maybe they're like, I have to have one thing. And then they try to find the one that best fits them. But actually what they want is four or five.
Yeah, things. I think it well, it's all it's just too difficult to pick one sometimes. I think for some people, yes, you can just pick one, but apparently not for me. I just have to have all the identities. But like it's weird because some people don't like to be put into boxes, so they don't like to give themselves labels, and I understand that. Like, I understand how that can be restrictive, but I also have found that sometimes giving labels, or at least a word that you can then research and think about, can help you better understand yourself and not feel so weird because you're like, oh, there are other people who identify in a similar way.
Okay, so lots of things that we have been talking about. Do you remember the first time that you came out and how you came out and who it was to?
So when I was a teenager, probably about 13, I actually did tell my mum that I was bisexual, but then she kind of forgot about it, and we didn't really talk about it after that. But I mean, if you want to know a good story later, I can tell you the second story of that.
Okay, should we save that one for the...
Yeah, but then after that, I like went to school and I think I just told people like that I was bi, and then people were like, I think one girl at school was like, oh, are you gonna fancy me? And I was like, no. but then this other girl at the same time had come out as bisexual, which I guess kind of made it easier. But I think because the way the world is, it's like so heteronormative that people are like, when you come out as bi, they're like, guys are still like, oh, well, at least they'll still sleep with me. And like, it's more like it's a trendy Angelina Jolie type thing. I don't think it was that difficult. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In the way that I think it would be much more difficult to come out as a lesbian or as a gay man. So it was just like it wasn't like a really big thing.
And then in terms of the other things.
Yes.
So I'm actually very unfamiliar with like the kink community. Do you come out as kinky? Is that is it the same?
I think it's more like when you're with someone, you have to have that conversation. And sometimes I've not had that conversation straight away, and sometimes I've had it straight away. And because I've now realised that it's very related to how I'm also attracted to someone, and then I want them to be attracted back in the same way, then it kind of is something that has to be done pretty soon, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So do you remember the first time that you had to have that kind of conversation?
I think it was when I was about 16. I was dating this guy at college, and I was at his house, and I asked him to tie me up, and he tied me up with some Arsenal scarves. and then he like went down on me. And because I wasn't used to it, I was like, oh, this is really ticklish. But it wasn't like pleasurable in the way that I now know what pleasure is, if that makes sense. And he kind of ruined it a bit because he kept saying, have you come yet? Have you come yet? So that wasn't good. But I remember like wanting more kinky stuff to happen, but not being able to articulate that to him. And then we broke up like a few weeks later. You know, we went together very long. But I remember when we first got together, I'd said to him, oh, that I really enjoyed the episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer where Spike and Buffy have sex the first time and they're like fighting, and then they just start fucking in this building. Have you seen it?
Yes, I think so.
The building all falls down, and I was like, oh, it's so hot. And he was just like, no, like didn't get it at all. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, so you didn't really have like the right kind of like words, do you think? Or do you think that you yourself didn't really know?
Yeah, I think I was still, discovering like what I wanted. And how to express that to other people.
Do you think that like the kind of conversation around polyamory is more similar to the conversation about kinks, where it's like a personal conversation that you have with the people that you are going to have relationships with?
Yeah, because Yeah, but I mean, I've not had many opportunities to have that because whatever I've been doing hasn't lasted very long.
Oh, that's a sad way of putting it.
Yeah. but that, I mean, the thing is as well, is that I don't even know if I want to be in a relationship again. So, like, it's weird because polyamory is kind of like being single. It's like you just don't really commit to it, anybody.
But you have, like, more clearly defined boundaries with the people that you are interacting with.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But I also think that when you're, inverted commas, single and you're seeing someone, where, like, for sex or whatever, there should be more conversations. Like, people should have more... like, this is what I expect from you, this is what I see this as, this is how often I'd like to see each other. Because sometimes you end up in a thing and then they treat you really shit and you're like, this is not what I wanted. I just think everyone needs to talk to each other more about what they want, and it's fine if the other person doesn't want the same thing, but then at least you've had that conversation.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is hard to ask for what you want, but... It shouldn't be.
No. I think if more people had more practice at it, it would be a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where in your life are you out?
Pretty much everywhere. Well,
like, you do a lot of performing. And
yeah, stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So like, the only people who don't really know stuff, so like my mom knows that I'm bi. Obviously, well, she did know before, then she forgot, then we had another conversation.
Which is coming.
She also knows that I'm a stripper. Hopefully she doesn't know that I'm kinky. I don't feel the need to tell her that I'm poly or asexual spectrum. But, like, and then all my friends, like, know pretty much everything. So, like, if they don't know, it's not because it's a secret, it's just because...
It hasn't come up
or they haven't been to one of my gigs or we've just not talked about it or whatever. Like, I'm quite open with people that I just meet or people that I know. In terms of, like, work, like, sometimes I don't tell normal jobs straight away that I'm a stripper, but now I've kind of decided that people need to accept that, if that makes sense. So, like, I was working for a youth theatre and I didn't tell them at first, and then I started to slowly tell people, and then I invited, like, my manager to a gig and then told a joke about it, and she was like, oh, that's great. And I was like, I need to stop, like, presuming people's reactions to things, and that you you perpetuate the stigma if you then also have a stigma about it for yourself. But I also understand why some people don't want to tell others what they do. So I'd say that, like, in that life, like, comedy, friends, everything. But then in terms of, like, some of my other family, they don't know everything. So, like, they might do. This is the thing, like, because I have mentioned it on my blog and I do post my blog on Facebook. But, like, my mum's not on Facebook, but some of my uncles and aunties and cousins are. And a lot of them are quite religious. But I think they just don't really talk about it. But, like, I would feel... I don't know. I feel like I can't sit at a family thing and be like, oh, yeah, I was working at the strip club the other night. Or, like, I think if I said, oh, I've got a girlfriend now, they might be like, oh, really? No, that's not true. I think my cousin does know, actually. I told her about that. But I also feel like they don't need to know, like, the kinky stuff or maybe the poly stuff. If I had, like, two partners, maybe they would need to know. I don't know. And the thing is, like, the thing about my mum is, like, she is quite open herself, but she cares so much about what other people think of her. It's like she doesn't want me to tell everyone, like, particularly the stripping thing. The bi thing, I'll tell you the story in a minute. But I think she doesn't want... me to tell her family that either. And it's like, they might, like, I hate the way parents think that your life choices or choices or sexualities or whatever, like, reflect on them. Does that make sense? Because it's like, it's not you, but they almost, like, feel ashamed about it. And, like, sometimes I think, oh, like, because obviously I do stand up and I have a blog, And like if I get more well known, like she's going to find out what I write on my blog, and she's going to find out about all the kinky sex, and she's like really not going to like it. But it's like, it's not for her. Like, this is my life. So it's kind of hard to kind of juggle that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You talk very openly about this kind of thing in your comedy.
Yeah.
Was that like a conscious decision, or was that just a, I'm going to write comedy about my life and this is my
life? Yeah, I just have always written jokes about things that have happened to me all my life. So it just comes out. I'm like, oh, I'll write a joke about this. Oh, I'll do that. So like, I don't really understand how people make up stories, because like some comedians like make up stuff. And like... Yeah, all right. I just feel like, is your life so boring that you can't write jokes about it? I don't know. I just find it so much easier and authentic to write about true stuff that's happened to me, or true experiences or feelings that I've had. So that's just how I do it.
Do you think that you have, like, through the process of comedy writing, do you think that you've learned more about your identity by, like, trying to write those jokes?
I don't know. It's weird because, like, literally, like, a couple, you know, about a month ago is when I started thinking about the asexual thing, maybe a bit longer. And then, like, about 2 weeks ago, I just wrote a joke about it. And a couple of the jokes that I wrote expressed exactly how I felt. It was just like, even though it's a joke, it was like, this is... what I think about the world. So it's like, I don't know if it, yeah, I guess it helps to clarify. It's like they're both interconnected. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay, so the next question is, do you have any particularly good or bad coming out stories? Now there is, you definitely have one.
I definitely have a story. So basically, my mum blocked out the fact that I told her I was bi when I was 13. And then about 20 years later, on my 33rd birthday...
sorry, we're going to have to pause. How old are you?
33.
Oh, bloody hell.
I know, I don't look
33. No, not even close. I realise, listeners...
If you haven't Googled me yet, I look about 25. So.
Yeah, 24 was going to be my guess. So, yeah.
I'd only had relationships with men. I hadn't really introduced my mum to any women or talked about having sex or kind of attraction to women since that teenage thing. So it just never came up really. And then on my birthday, she was like, "Oh, where were you last night?" And I was like, "At my friend's house." And she was like, it was really weird. She was just like asking me weird questions. She was like, "Oh, is it a woman?" I was like, "Yeah." She was like, "Well, where did you sleep?" I was like, "I slept in her bed." And she was like, "Oh." She was like, "Did you do anything?" And I was like, "No." And then she just acted really weird about it. And then I was like, "Do you know what? I'm going to like address this and challenge this." I was like, "Do you know what? Actually, we did have sex once, but it wasn't for me. Turns out I'm asexual." I didn't say that then, because I didn't know that then. But, you know, we're still really good friends. And, and she was just like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then she got really upset. And I was like, this is just really funny being in the V&A museum, like, telling my mum that I'm bi on my 33rd birthday. And then... she was like, "Oh, but it's really disgusting." And I was like thinking, "But you don't have to do it. Like, why is it up to you?" And then also kind of thinking, sex is a bit disgusting and I'm a bit confused about that. But like, let's just leave that. I'll address that next, like, in 6 months' time. and then she kind of like went to the toilet and then she came back. And I think I said to her, "Look, I know you're actually quite open-minded. If you think about this, I don't know why you would have a problem." And then she was like, "Yeah, I mean, I'm fine. Like, it's okay." Because like, she went from like being really upset to 5 minutes later just being like, "Okay, no worries." But then she was like, "Oh, but you prefer men, don't you?" And I was like, "Well, I do like tend to go for men more, but that doesn't like mean that you shouldn't be okay with this. And like, I want to know that if I was ever in a relationship with a woman, that you would be okay with that. And she was like, yeah, okay, I would be okay with that. And then she was like, but don't tell anyone, like the family and stuff. And I was like, oh, it's too late for that. I've already told my cousin. And then we kind of like didn't talk about it ever again. So
it's a good example of being like explicit and open about what you want from someone else though.
Yeah.
Like telling your mum. That was.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, you need to be okay with this. Yeah. I mean, and I was just really confused because I was like, but you knew. Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, and she was like, oh no, I didn't. I was like, yeah, we had this conversation when I was a teenager. And she was like, oh. And I was like, and I also just kind of assumed that she, I don't know. I think because when people meet me, because I'm so open about stuff, I think people just assume that I've like been with men and women. Like it's like one of those, I'm one of those people where they're like, yeah, she just, that's just Carmen. She's just like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I forget that my mum doesn't know me in that way. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. I think often with parents, like the first thought is to panic, and then they don't really know.
And then she was like talking about how there was this woman on, like, is it Strictly Come Dancing or something?
Susan Kalman?
No, no. Not Alexa Chung. Someone like that. Who like said that she was bi, and then she was like, and then she wasn't in the papers as much anymore. She wasn't on TV as much anymore, or something. And I was like, what century are you living in, Mum? I was like, that it might not be to do with that. And even if it is, that's not a reason to not be open about your sexuality, because some people might discriminate against you because of it. Then that's their problem. Like, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was that.
And this all happened in the V&A?
Yes. It was so, yeah, I was like, this is a good story.
It is a good story, absolutely. Okay, so that's...
And my dad's dead, so it never came out to him.
Okay. I was going to say, that brings us to our final question, but that brings us to our final question. Final question, which is, so what does coming out mean to you?
I don't know. Just, I guess, being, like, totally open with who you are to people that you do know or you don't know. And sometimes it's really easy, and sometimes you don't need to have that conversation, and sometimes you do.
Thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to me, Kerris Bradley. I'd like to say a couple of thank yous to the other people who've worked on this project. So Alex Lathbridge, who has helped with the hosting of the podcast and also the compiling of the music that you've heard, and to Scary Boots for creating our incredible artwork. Please subscribe, review, tell your friends, spread the word. And if you want to get involved and be interviewed on the podcast, then there's a link on the website and in the bio of our Twitter. So there's a little form that you can fill out. I hope you have a lovely day.
So if you have enjoyed this interview and would like to see you come and perform, where can people come see you perform?
So if you go to my website, it's just carmenalley.com. You can see my gig lists and my social media. You can read my blog. You can read about figging, find out what that is. And have a great time. You can read my blog post called Fucking Foreplay and Heteronormativity, which I think would be of interest and relevant.
You know our listeners. There'll be a link to this website in the place where you got your... in the description of where you got the podcast from. So you can either find it at carmenalley.com or just go back to where you got the podcast. Whilst you're there, leave us a review. That would be nice, because no one does. But I'm pretty sure that people like it. So maybe you could tell us formally. That would be appreciated. Okay, that's it. Done.
Thanks.
Hold up.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.